The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Friday's racing on this edition, and you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:40 p.m. with Gary Capewell, Andy Holding and Gareth Topham in the studio. A good Friday of racing to look forward to. We have York, Musselburgh and Sandown in the afternoon, Goodwood, Chepstow and Aintree in the evening. Plenty to look forward to. Six good meetings on Friday. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio is Mr. Stephen Powell. How are you, Stephen?
I'm in great form, thank you, Mark.
Good. Glad to hear it, Stephen. Good day of racing to look forward to this Friday. I mean, we've got a couple of two-day meetings coming up at Musselburgh, York and Sandown. And they start on Friday. And alongside that, we've got racing from Aintree, the home of the Grand National, of course, and Chepstow and Goodwood. Good stuff.
Yeah, very good stuff. For it. You know, it goes in batches, doesn't it, I find, where we'll have quite a few days and then we'll be like pummeled for like 2 or 3 days with some really good racing and lots of it. And then we'll have another quiet couple of days. But this week, you don't have to wait too long before some really good racing again. Obviously, with Royal Ascot starting on Tuesday, right through until Saturday. And the back end of the week, even Royal Ascot week's very good. I mean, on Saturday, there's good racing at Ayr. Newmarket's on, and that's always decent as well. So, yeah, next couple of weeks is pretty good stuff.
It is good stuff from plenty of meetings. While we're talking about Royal Ascot, as you've just mentioned there.
Oh, yes.
Starts on Tuesday. A few stories in the news with regards to Royal Ascot. We'll start with remote for John Gosden, will not go to Royal Ascot, so that's one absentee.
Yeah, disappointing really. Obviously was very impressive when he won a couple of races last year, firstly at Doncaster on Derby Day before going to Royal Ascot and winning. Not seen since. He has been entered twice to run, firstly in the Brigadier Gerard at Sandown, but the ground went very, very soft, so they took him out. And then he was due to run in a small handicap at Nottingham last week, I think it was, and he was taken out there. So obviously not quite happy with him. And it'd be disappointing he's not there. But, you know, judging by the sort of horse he is, I'm not sure there's a real sort of... it's not worth, I don't think, diving him straight into Royal Ascot first time out. Because he's obviously... Not fragile is not the right word, but the fact is he had 4 starts and we didn't see him after Ascot last year suggests that he's not the easiest to train. And obviously with Kingman being his half-brother and doing well for the family, I'm sure they want to try and keep that going with remote as well. So all in good time.
Yes, and John Gosden says a pretty similar thing. Didn't think bringing remote back in Group 1 company after a year off was the wisest move, which is fair enough.
And John Gosden is a very wise man.
So. He is a wise man, yes. When John Gosden talks, you listen.
Yeah. I particularly enjoyed, just on the subject of John Gosden, I sort of caught up with the Channel 4 coverage from Epsom Derby weekend, and he was interviewed at the top of the Derby show by Claire Balding. And he made me laugh because he said that they celebrated into the night and he had a bit of a thick head in the morning. Yeah. But he was still up at 5:30 to sort the yard out. So... I just love him.
Yeah.
I really do.
What a man.
I could talk to him for hours and just listen to him, let alone talk to him. So, yeah, really, really like John Gosden.
Yeah, I don't know if he'd be happy with you talking to him for an hour or hours. But
No, don't think anyone would.
Right, continuing with the Royal Ascot theme.
Yes.
Hot Streak and Pearl Secret, two very good sprinters. Oh. They are looking to be kept apart at Royal Ascot. They're both in the betting for the King's Stand. But it looks like one of them may potentially go for the Diamond Jubilee instead.
It'd be interesting to see which one they go with, because they've both looked like pretty much five furlong horses out and out. I mean, Hot Streak wasn't really stopping at the end of the Temple Stakes when he won that. But Kevin Ryan also obviously trains Hot Streak. He's got a stare who's in the Diamond Jubilee in the betting for that race as well. So, I would think... I would think that the decision will be, from my personal point of view, I think that Hot Streak is a better horse than Pearl Secret, and thus I would run him in the race that he's got a better chance of winning, and just run Pearl Secret in the other, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So for me, I would run Hot Streak in the King's Stand and Pearl Secret in the Diamond Jubilee, because whatever Pearl Secret runs in, he's got less chance of winning than Hot Streak.
And either of them, whichever one of them goes to the King's Stand, it should be an interesting clash with Shea, who only just missed out last year, of course.
Yeah, of course.
Looking
to
come back and win a first Royal Ascot race for Mike de Kock as well.
I know, he's thrown a few darts with some good horses and it just hasn't managed to come off. I suppose sort of campaigning them through the winter and then trying to let them down and bring them back again within a couple of months, it's not easy. But hopefully, you know, he's worthy of a Royal Ascot winner. So personally, I hope Hot Streak, if he runs, wins, because it'd be nice to have a really good young sprinter, I think. And I think, you know, he's got the potential to beat based on what we've seen so far.
The Queen Anne has had a little bit of an unexpected shake-up with Freddie Head supplementing Anadin into the field at a cost of £35,000. Represents the same connections of Goldie Cover, who's won the race in the past and finished second to Canford Cliffs as well in the past. So it's a race they've targeted before. Do you see him being a big threat to Toronado?
I would say it's unlikely, I would think, to be honest. But interesting that they've done so, because obviously, you know, it's a fair few quid to lay out to run him, and I respect him. But I'd be surprised if he wins. The one that I'm really looking forward to seeing again, actually, in that race is Verrazano, who was a Group 1 winner on dirt on a couple of occasions in America last year, joined Aidan O'Brien, made his debut for them in the Lockinge, although he was fairly well beaten by Olympic Glory. He travelled really well indeed, and he's a really big, imposing horse. And if there's any improvement for that, which a lot of Aidan O'Brien's horses have found for their first run, I'm looking forward to seeing him, obviously, as well as Toronado and the rest as well. Always a good race, the Queen Anne.
It is.
Absolutely love the Queen. It's one of my favourite races of the year, the Queen Anne.
It is a good race. I mean, there's a lot of races that
run. I know, so like it's a good race.
Yeah, shaping up to be.
Yeah.
It's going to be a good meeting this year.
Cracking, as it should be.
Anything else on the Royal Ascot radar before we move on?
Well, I've just been actually looking through a few races. I really can't wait. I mean, Tuesday for me already, as generally people say, it's a sort of bit top heavy in the fact that it's the best day. But this year, I think it will be the best day. You've got the Queen Anne kicking things off. You've got the Coventry, which is generally the best two-year-old race of the week. You've got the St James's Palace, which is a rematch, obviously, with Knight of Thunder and Kingman throwing in two or more and one or two others as well, as well as the King's Stand, which we mentioned with Hot Streak. Tuesday, I'm really looking forward to it. So I'm at Nottingham Tuesday night working. So I'm just trying to decide, do I get to Nottingham so early that I can sit and watch Royal Ascot? Or do I listen to it in the car and wait till I get there?
Go early.
I am leaning towards that. Cause, I mean, it's a 2:30 start, so it's not like I've got to get there for 1:00, is it? So you don't want to spend too much time in Nottingham, really, do you? So I'm only joking. I like Nottingham as a place. And, I mean, the race course is lovely. Beautiful. Considering it's very close to a city centre, you'd think it wouldn't be as picturesque as it is. But it's really, really nice. So, if you're free Tuesday night, come to Nottingham.
Yeah, Joke. Expert backtracking there, Stephen. Well done.
So, look, I'm a Midlander. I like all the towns in the Midlands.
Moving on from Royal Ascot then, just an honourable mention to AP McCoy before we move on to Friday's racing. He's reached 50 winners at a phenomenal rate this year. And
unbelievable.
He's getting better with age. It's hard to think that he can still be challenging his records after so many years at the top.
At the age of 14, after 20 years at the top, it is unbelievable. I mean, he rode a winner at Worcester on, I think it was Monday or Tuesday evening. Was it Mission Accomplished? And it was one of the best rides. I mean, people say, oh, another great AP ride, another brilliant job. But it was a phenomenal ride. And the fact he can still give the horses that, be at his peak at this point in his career is amazing. And when he sort of joked after his 4,000th winner at Toaster that he'd like to get to 5,000, everybody was sort of chortled and thought, yes, well, it won't happen, you know, that sort of thing. But I actually think it might, because he's just going at such a pace that it's not really not beyond the realms of possibility that I think the closer he'll get to it, the least likely he is to give up, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So,
if he were to break his own record of 289 winners this year.
I mean, if you got to 300 in the season, that would be...
And then he's only 700 short.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So it's only another 3.5 years of riding 300 winners a year. So, but it's great. I mean, he's already... Was he over 30 clear of the next person? Something he's like just that, got a phenomenal lead. And, you know, it must be disheartening a little bit if you're Richard Johnson. You know, I'm sure he might keep going till AP retires and then get one title that he does deserve, Richard. But yeah, great. And it is good. I mean, because, you know, a lot of jockeys generally, as they get towards the end of their careers, they sort of wind down, get a little bit more choosy. You know, like Frankie Dettori, still a very good jockey, but, you know, he's just picking and choosing and sort of enjoying himself because he's worked hard for so long. But AP doesn't seem to be able to do that, even if he wanted to. He just, you know, runs through his veins to the point where it's unbelievable, really. Mm. Great man.
He's, of course, the ambassador of National Hunt Racing for us here at William Hill, and we're going top price about him, 15-2 to break his record of 289 winners, which is, at the moment, looks a good price.
Well, I know, and if we get a good winter like we had last year, where there were a few abandonments, but it wasn't a wipeout like we've had certain winters. If we get a fairly decent winter again, you wouldn't at all be... it'd be great. Well, 300 winners in a season is a phenomenal record. Phenomenal. Well, it would be. I don't think he'd be able to beat that one if he did it this year, personally. But never say never.
He would be going soon, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, great stuff. Anyway, we must leave the news there.
Yeah, and, we say, talking about this jump racing, I'm thinking, oh, we're only 4 months away to the Charlie Hall Chase or whatever.
Yes, but let's talk about things much more pressing than four months away. Let's look at Friday's racing.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Yes, on to Friday's racing then. Stephen's picked out three races for us. The 2:20 at Musselburgh, the 4:20 at Sandown, and the 8 o'clock at Goodwood are the three we're going to look at. So we'll start in chronological order with the 2:20 at Musselburgh, which is a Class 4 handicap over a mile. We've got six of them in the lineup here, Stephen. Desert Colours arrives here on the back of numerous wins. You've got Spice Up Your Life, who arrives here in winning form. And you've got the likes of Rainbow Rock, which couldn't be discounted, Majorities as well. It's quite a competitive race with only six runners.
It is. I mean, the three races have chosen all three-year-old handicaps, which I normally think are really, really hard to find the winners of. But hopefully this occasion will sort of buck that trend for me. You mentioned Desert Colours, first of all. He's up £27 for a five winning runs in March and April. He's been off for 8 weeks since then, since his most recent win, which were combined between the all-weather and the turf as well. They've put a claimer on him, and I'm just wondering now, maybe that could be him done. You know, he's won five on the bounce. He's had a nice break, but he'll come back. Handicappers worked him all out. They've put an apprentice on. And the three-year-olds, who were probably not as well forward in March and April as he was, have caught up and may well have moved past him. We mentioned Majorities. Made a decent fist of things on his handicap debut at Haydock 3 weeks ago. Very good jockey booking as well in Connor Beasley, who's a really, really good young lad. And he's only just got done for second that day at Haydock. And I think there probably is a little bit more to come from him. And this arguably is a slightly easier race than Haydock as well. Rainbow Rock also. Front runners did really, really well at Musselburgh, and they had a meeting there last weekend. And obviously Mark Johnston, Joe Fanning generally adopt those tactics. Visored for the first time. He was a good third before finishing second at Southwell last week, and that was his best run. He's obviously got to translate that back to the turf, but he's not had that many starts, and he's from a family that generally should get better as he gets older. But it is Spice Up Your Life who I'm going to go with. Had a very poor draw at Chester first time out, was drawn out in 10 and dwelt at the start, so I can completely write that off. Upped in trip and down in grade at Beverley last time over 7.5 furlongs, stayed on really strongly and drew well away, stayed on really well. So the easy mile at Musselburgh and a stiff 7.5 at Beverley basically aren't going to be a great deal of difference, I don't think. And she's got a head in front there, bit of confidence in the same grade, and I think that she probably will just edge it for Richard Fahy and Tony Hamilton. But as you say, it's a tight little race, really interesting, but I think just because she comes into it in a bit of winning form, I'll side with her.
Okay, Spice Up Your Life then in the 2:20 at Musselburgh. The 4:20 at Sandown is the next race we're going to look at. It's a Class 4 handicap over a mile and a quarter. 11 of them in the lineup here. We've got a couple of them that won their last race, Risha and Billy Blue, and Bobby Benton, in fact, as well. We've got the likes of Cotton Club, who's consistent. And, it's another competitive race, this, Stephen.
Yeah, another good three-year-old handicap here as well, Mark, at Sandown. There's two that I like in here, but I'll spin through a couple of the others first. Ride in the top weight makes his handicap debut. He ran in a maiden just 5 days ago at Goodwood. I think a handicap mark of 80 is a little bit high on what he's achieved so far, so I'm prepared to leave him alone this time. You mentioned Cotton Club, up a total of £15 since he won rather at Nottingham, but he's finished second and he's improved again since winning at Nottingham, but without managing to win. But I think this is a more difficult race than the one that he ran in last time out at Haydock Park. For all that Pat Millman takes off £7. Billy Bloom, he shaped well. Obviously a bit of a late bloomer. Didn't make his debut until the back end real late on last year. Three fairly quick runs and won the final one of those in December as well. He's been off 6 months. Turf debut as well. But obviously from John Gosden. So as we've touched on already, he's worthy of massive respect, Billy Bloom. Bobby Benton, another one making his turf debut. 3 second in maidens. Won a Southwell maiden. And I'm just not quite sure that's good enough here. He's going to have to improve even more, and I'm not sure he's open to the same amount of improvement as one or two of the others. And then down at the bottom, we get on to one of the two that I like. See Here, who's three maiden runs. This is his handicap debut. By See the Stars out of the Oaks, winner Look Here. And obviously, See the Stars horses, offspring, as the year's going on, are really, really sort of blossoming. You know, one or two half-decent two-year-olds, but nothing special. A bit like himself, really. But this year they've been flying. And he's had a little bit of a break after making his seasonal return at Lingfield over a mile. Should appreciate the step up in trip with that pedigree. And I think he'll go very, very close as well, See Here. And the one I'm going to go with as the danger is Risha, who you mentioned won very nicely at Leicester last time out, the least exposed in this field for the Roger Varian yard. She's got another nice pedigree on show as well, and I just think she's rated 79, and I think she's probably better, she's going to be better than that in time. And with sort of one or two question marks about the others, though it looks competitive really once you sort of pick them out, it's fairly easy to get it to a short list, if that makes sense. So she'd top that short list for me, with See Here second in.
Okay, and Roger Varian enjoying a bit of a purple patch at the minute. He's been amongst the winners of late.
Yeah, so very good yard. Like the Varian yard very much indeed.
Okay, on to the 8 o'clock at Goodwood next then. This is a class 4 handicap over a mile and a half, and so far, Stephen, you've tipped two last time out winning fillies. I'm beginning to see the pattern here. You've got two that fit the bill in this race, Placidia and Tors. Are either of those two the selection?
Yeah, one of them is. It's Tors that's going to be the selection. But I'll mention Placidia first. Ran in a handicap 2 starts ago at Nottingham, was beaten off a mark of 75 before winning at Lingfield recently. Now off 82 in a harder race. I'm not sure she's made that much improvement, personally, on that Lingfield win. Also worried me as well that she flashed her tail a little bit there as well. And personally, I'm not a big fan of the David Lanigan yard. They get nice horses and they do win races with them, but they're inconsistent. They can have sort of 3 winners one day and then go a week without anything placing at all. So I'm quite happy to leave Placidia alone. Tors, handicap debut, up 4 furlongs in trip. Won really well at Nottingham. Came from a very, very long way back as well, 9 days ago on soft ground. Going is slightly quite different at Goodwood. Good to firm in places, which worries me slightly there as well. But I think that now she's got that run, she travelled past the horses really quickly, really easily, and for all the grounds quicker and the trip slightly shorter, it was a big step forward on what she'd shown at all previously. And they've kept the same jockey on in Cam Hardy as well, so she's sort of really, really low down the weights, very low indeed. She's got a featherweight basically, and I think another good run's on the card from her. And the Millman yard have been going well of late actually as well, another one that you can mention positively there. I'll also mention then Arantes, who was down in grade and in the weights when third at Chester, but probably could do with a little bit more, I think, restraint from the handicapper. Rocket Ship, for me, hasn't improved in his 3 runs in maiden company at all. Although his form figure, say 7.42, suggests that he might have done. He's beaten 7 lengths on both of his last 2 starts as well. I think the danger, personally, is going to be Sebastian Beach. Only won by a neck at HQ last time out, but was always just doing enough there in the hands of Ryan Moore. Was a cosy winner that day, having improved for the trip, and I think he will be better than this sort of grade in time. Oasis Fantasy, one with a nice pedigree, good jockey booking O'Shea Murphy. Ed Dunlop's widely said that his horses were sick early on in the year and they seemed to be a bit slow coming forward, and he was beaten in an easier race than this 2 weeks ago at Brighton. And I'll mention Artful Rogue, obviously Amanda Perrott's local course, another one who could improve for the trip and sort of a bit of an unknown quantity really, because I'm not sure whether his form's half decent or half bad. I can't really get a grip on Artful Rogue, so I wouldn't totally dismiss him. but hopefully Tours can cope with the changing conditions and the more difficult race than say off Sebastian Beach, because there's a quite a big weight difference between them two, verging on nearly 2 stone.
Yeah, she's in off a featherweight down at the bottom. Yeah. So Tours the selection in the 8 o'clock. Let's just have a quick summary then, Stephen, if you wouldn't mind spinning us through your selections one more time.
Yeah, thanks very much, Mark. We're going for the Musselburgh 220 Spice Up Your Life, Sandown 420 Risha, but do keep an eye on C here, because I think he's going to be a decent animal. And in the 8 o'clock at Goodwood, Tours with Sebastian Beach, the danger to her that time.
Good work. Thank you very much, Stephen. Enjoy it on Friday.
Yeah, looking forward to it, Mark. Thank you.
So there you go, the thoughts of Stephen Powell on Friday's racing. A good Friday to look forward to with racing from York, Musselburgh and Sandown in the afternoon, Goodwood, Chepstow and Aintree in the evening. 6 good meetings to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Friday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.